Sure been good tonight to be here. Pray that it continues to be a blessing to us as we look together at a portion of God's Word. And we know the Word of God is good, and it's a blessing to even read it together in your, as a people that believe that we are reading from the inspired Word of God, given to us by inspiration and kept for us by the Lord Himself, that we might look at it even tonight. If you have your Bibles, I certainly encourage you to turn with me. I'd like to read a passage of Scripture that I'm sure is familiar to you, found in the book of Proverbs. I'd like to call your attention to the third chapter of the book of Proverbs, the writing of the wise man Solomon, who was blessed with a great, great wisdom. Of course, all Scripture being given by inspiration of God, we know it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so thankful that we have it to turn to tonight, to look to. I begin reading right at verse 1 of Proverbs chapter 3. We'll probably read down through to about verse 12. And pray the Lord will bless us with words that will help us with understanding and growth and what this is teaching us. And we know that comes from the Lord, so we are asking that He would bless us with liberty to be able to share the truth as it is in Christ. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth." We're thankful that the Lord has moved Solomon to write and pin down these words. He writes to us as pupils, as sons. As a father would write to a son, he writes by inspiration of God to us as students of the Word of God. And he writes to us as those who are learning from their father, learning from the Word. Of course, we believe that all of the Bible is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His teachings. We know they are that which testify of me. He told the some that were talking to him in the New Testament that all Scripture, you search them, you think you have eternal life in them, but they are that they which testify of me. And so we know this lesson is not just from Solomon, but God gave it to Solomon to give to his son and also to us tonight as part of the Word of God. So this lesson is for us that we might know better how to live as God's children, a message that comes from the Lord to us. He says, "Forget not my law." And the law that's under consideration are the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ that have been given to us, the doctrine that's been given to us. Really, I'd go as far to say it's talking about the gospel, not to forget the gospel. You'll find this same thing throughout the Scriptures, that we are not to neglect or to take lightly, or we're to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. We're told in the book of Hebrews, we're to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we would let them slip. And the things we hear from the Bible, the teachings of God's Word, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's important that you and I remember that we don't forget the commandments of the Lord. We don't forget the doctrine. We don't forget the gospel of the Lord. He says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Let thine heart keep my commandments. Not just my hands keep His commandments. Not just my my feet keep His commandments, not just my tongue keep His commandments. But it's talking about what Jesus said, I believe, in John 14 when He said, if you love Me, keep My commandments. In other words, it's the commandments that the Lord has laid in our hearts as new creatures in Christ. The laws have been written in our hearts and our minds. Even as Jeremiah said, those things that were written not on tables of stone, but in our hearts. So that we need to have no man teach us to know the Lord, for they all shall know Me, from the least to the greatest. And He said, I will write my laws in their hearts and put it upon their minds. And I pray tonight that we would let that heart that He has worked in us be active in keeping His commandments. In other words, we're not just to be hearers of the Word, but we're to be doers of the Word. It's important that God's little children keep the commandments of the Lord, not in order to become God's children, but because they are. He said, don't forget His law. Let thine heart keep My commandments. And there's a reason for that. He says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. You know, what's wonderful about the commandments of the Lord? It's the best way to live. It's a way of prosperity. It's a way of rest. It's a way of peace. It's the best way to get along in this world. The man of this world cannot see it, know it, hear it, does not delight in it, but the little child of God who's born of the Spirit of God, there's nothing better than you and I to line up our lives after the teachings of God's Word. Let this book be a lamp unto our feet. Let this book be a lamp, a light unto our path. Let this book be where we go when we lack wisdom and desire to know what we ought to do and how we ought to act and how we ought to behave and how we ought to conduct ourselves in this world. That this book is not just written for suggestions on how to get along in this world, but this book has been given unto God's children that we might grow in grace and knowledge of the truth, and that we might put on the gospel and live the gospel in our lives. He says, length of days and long life. You know, when I'm thinking of those, I told somebody before church, maybe all of you before church, that when you get old enough that the kindergarten class at your school starts using your age as an object lesson for big numbers, you know you put in a few years now. And there in my hallway at school, they got tally marks laying out the number of years old that Mr. Utz is, and laid out in groups of five, and the kindergarten has been learning how to count by fives going all the way up to the number 60. And it kind of is an awakening for you when you look outside your door and the other class made 60 paper balloons and laid what they looked like right across the hall from me. And I have that to look at. And I thought, but what a blessed 60 years really it's been. You know, I've had some tough times in my life. I have had some dark moments. Had a few times that I even had gotten so weary of life that I really just didn't know whether I wanted to go on or not. Sometimes I thought I wasn't going to make it. Sometimes I thought I didn't have a clue of what was going to happen. And really, brethren, that's always been the case in my life. It's always been the case in the sense of me and being in control. I just look at the Lord's hand on my life and how He has led me and the path He's directed me and the places that He has allowed me to go by His grace, and the blessings that He's given me and poured out upon me daily in my life. And I look over, and though the years pass so quickly and it seemed to be just a, as the Bible says, it's just a vapor. It's here for a while and soon vanishes away. It's been a good existence. I know this, that the days and the hours that I spend in the service of God, in the sense of being at His church and among the brethren, and I'm not patting myself on the back for that, because I'll tell you what, if it had been me, if it had been what I wanted, it would have been another course. But rather, it's what the Lord has worked. If we have any good in us, it's not we who did it, but He who has done it for us in our life. And He has led us and directed us in that path. And though there is an obedience that we are to walk in and follow in, and as we do that, we'll find great blessings in keeping His commandments. And it's length of days. Listen, you know, you have those days that seem so long and you just want them to be over. But then you have those times where you feel close to the Lord and it just seems like
It just seems like it passes way too quickly, doesn't it? It seems like and the Bible says a day in His court is better than a thousand. And if you're not spending some days in His court, you're missing some days, aren't you? You're missing some time. A day in the fellowship of the Lord's people and hearing the gospel preached and singing the songs that we sung tonight and praying and looking to the Lord. Listen, we've mentioned a lot of problems tonight. But I'll tell you, we've got a God bigger than all of those things, greater. There is no problem. There is no trouble. There is nothing that is hidden from our Lord. And He greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And He says, for length of days and long life. And long life doesn't mean much if you don't have peace. But He says, not only length of days and long life, but peace shall they add to thee. What's going to add to thee? Just simply doing what God tells you to do. It gets to really be simple when you understand what it is the Lord would have us to do. It's simple. You trust Him and you obey Him. You listen to Him. You seek His counsel. You seek His face. You seek His direction. You study His Word. And then you look to the Lord for the strength to be able to be obedient to His Word. And as you do that, length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. He said in verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Dear ones, I want us to let you know that mercy and truth will really never forsake you. When you think of the mercy of the Lord, how long does it last? What did the psalmist say? The mercy of the Lord endureth forever. What did we do to get into the mercy of the Lord? Not a single thing. That's why it's mercy. It isn't something we deserved. It's something we didn't deserve. And God showed us mercy. And how long does it, and when will His mercy fail? His mercy cannot fail. His mercy will not fail. And in a sense, there's no way that mercy can forsake you, because that mercy, you're not the source of it. You didn't cause it to be. And yet, what is He speaking of? Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. And the truth is the truth. Listen, the truth is the truth. The Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. And the truth doesn't change. He is that truth. He's the everlasting truth. He's the Alpha and the Omega. There's not going to be any changing of the truth. But you and I can forget about His mercy. At times, we can forget about His truth. We can start living in this world not thinking about His mercy. And I believe what this is talking about very clearly is that we're to not ever forget His mercy. See, I don't want to forget His mercy. I'll tell you, it'll make you act different if you remember His mercy. If you remember how good the Lord has been to you, and I remember tonight how good He's been to me, we can't help but love Him, can we? That's when we remember how much He's forgiven us of, how much He paid in dying on the cross for us, how much He loved us in coming into this world, all that He's done for us, what mercy drove Him to do as God's love was shown to us in such a wonderful way when He took our sins in His own body and paid a debt at Calvary we owed. And rather than pouring that wrath out on us, God the Father showed us mercy and poured that wrath out on His own darling Son. The Son of God showed us mercy in being willing to take that in His own body. And the Holy Spirit has shown us mercy in coming into our lives and regenerating us and making us alive, and even allowing us to know all that He's done for us. And I'll tell you what, we don't want to forget His mercy. God's little children act awful ugly when they forget His mercy. And when we remember His mercy, you know one thing that'll do? It'll cause you to be merciful. You know, when you remember how much you're forgiven of, it makes it easier to forgive others. And when we stop and forgiving others, it's usually because we've forgotten how much we've been forgiven of. And that's why coming to church helps you, so you can hear again what a mess you were without the Lord, and how good He's been to you, and how merciful He's been to you, and how you ought to show mercy. Even to those, listen, He showed mercy to those who didn't deserve it. Sometimes we said, I'll show Him mercy if He deserved it. Well, see, mercy is not what you deserved. Mercy is what you get in spite of what you deserve. That's how the Lord has forgiven us. He even teaches us in the New Testament we are to forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us. We are to forgive one another. And I'll tell you, you want to have peace in the church, you're going to need to have mercy. towards one another. If you're going to have peace in the family, you're going to have forgiveness. You're going to have mercy towards each other. You're going to have peace with your children. You're going to have to forgive them, and they're going to have to forgive you. And the way we learn about that is to look what Jesus did in forgiving us of so much. And if He can forgive me of those things, what is it that I shouldn't be able to forgive my brethren for in this old world? And I'll tell you what a peace comes in your life when you're able to forgive. You know, carrying hard feelings and hurt feelings around all the time will make you old. It'll make your days long. It'll make you weary. It'll make your heart sick. It'll drive you to the doctors where they give you medicine that don't really help you. It just numbs it for a little while. I'll tell you what'll help you and heal you. And I'm not saying I'm against, listen, when I get some pains, I'm going to take some medicine too to get rid of some of those pains. But what I'm saying to you, some of the things that doctors are trying to cure, won't be able to cure, because we can carry those burdens around, and it's a great relief for you when you're able to forgive. As you follow the great example of the one who has forgiven us, we're to forgive one another that way. I bid you tonight, if you're holding on against someone, you let that go tonight. You ask the Lord to forgive you and give you a heart of forgiveness, whomever that might be. It doesn't mean you have to accept everything that they're doing and say it's okay. You shouldn't do that. You're to depart from evil, and you shouldn't just go along with somebody. He didn't say our sin was okay. When He took that little woman who was caught in adultery, He never told her her sin was okay. But I'm telling you, I know. I'm going to wear it out. He never told her sin was okay, but He did forgive her. He said, "Woman, where are thy accusers?" And she said, "No man, Lord." He said, "Neither do I condemn thee." But notice this. He said, "Go and sin no more." In other words, I'm not saying you ought to just keep on doing this, but I'm telling you, I'm forgiving you. Brethren, I'm glad I got a Lord tonight I can go to, and He'll forgive me. Because I'm going to need it. I'm going to need it when I pray tonight. And I got news for you. When I get up in tomorrow, I'm going to need it again. And the next day, I'm going to need it again. And as long as I'm in this world, I'm going to need it. One day's coming when I won't need it, when He washes me completely. And I'm washed already, but when the fullness of that takes place, and I'm body, soul, and spirit with the Lord, and we'll be sin free. That'll be wonderful. That'll be a glorious day when He makes us just like Him all together, and we don't have to carry that old burden and that old weight of sin. We carry some of it. We don't need to carry down here. There's a whole lot of things we need to put off. We are to do what He says, go and sin no more. That's why He said, keep my commandments. He said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. I don't want to forget the truth. I don't want to forget that my hope of heaven is what Jesus did for me. You don't want to forget that, do you? I don't want to forget that that's the only hope I have of ever being with Him in glory. I don't want to forget that when I'm in trouble, I've got a God who's with me all the time. I don't want to forget that. That's the truth. I want to remember He's everywhere present, and He's nowhere absent. I want to remember when I get sick that He's a great physician. I want to remember when my heart is broken, He's the healer of broken hearts. I want to remember that when I need help, He is my help and my strength. He's my high tower. He is. I want to remember that when I have a friend in Jesus. What a friend I have in Jesus. So that when I get in trouble, I'm quick to go to Him in prayer and I look to Him. I want to remember He's an ever-present guest in my home and in my car and in my life. And that He's there not because I've invited Him, but He is there already. And all I ought to invite Him and I ought to ask Him, but He's already there. He is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I want to remember He's a loving Savior, but I also want to know, remember this, I want to operate in the fear of the Lord. God is not mocked. And for whatsoever man soweth, so shall he also reap. And I want to be sowing good things. I want to sow to the Spirit rather than sowing to the flesh. So that I love the Spirit, reap life everlasting, rather than sowing to the flesh. You know, the flesh reap corruption. And there's a lot of corruption that we reap in our lives as a result of sowing to the flesh. Brethren, these are things we need to remind one another of. He said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. That means put them on and wear them. God's little children, we have a duty and responsibility to wear the truth. You know, sometimes we're frowning when we don't really have a right to frown, do we? Sometimes we're complaining when we don't have a right to complain. Sometimes we're murmuring and complaining about some things that the Lord has done in our life, and we're blind to all that He's doing in those very things. And what He's bringing about, how He's working, Know this, that our God is in the heavens, and your path has been compassed by Him. From the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb, even before that, you were in His minds and thoughts. You were chosen in Him before the very foundation of the world. And at the very moment of your conception, God was right there. As you grew in your mother's womb, God was right there. As you were delivered into this world, God was right there. As you grew up in your early years, God was right there. Your teenage years, God's right there. His eyes have ever been upon you. And no matter how old you grow in this world, you'll never get outside of His watch care and His providence and His love. You want to remember that? I do. I want to remember that. It'll make my days longer and more joyous and more at rest and peace. It'll make my life more worth living. I won't be looking for those days just to be over, but rather enjoying every blessing God gives me in the journey that He's allowed me to have in this world. We run our race with patience, looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. He said, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart." And I thought about how do we write His commandments or His teachings on the heart? How do we do that? Well, we know really originally you can't do that. If the Lord hadn't written them on your heart, you can't write them on your heart. Man doesn't change his mind along the way on his own and say, I just want to follow the Lord's commandments. You see, it isn't in man to do that. It takes the Lord to write on the heart. It takes the Lord to put His laws in your heart and in your mind. It's over in the book of Jeremiah, and I misquoted that so bad. Let's look at it and read it together. Over in Jeremiah 31, the Lord there says this about the covenant that He'll make with Israel and the house of Israel after those days. In Jeremiah 31 and verse 33. And I'll slow down a little bit and try to take a breath so my voice doesn't wear out. He says, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts." You see, what made you different is that the Lord wrote His law in your heart. That's when your mind, somebody said, "Well, I changed my mind and went another way than what I was going." I'm telling you, when that happened, if you changed your minds, it's because the Lord changed your mind. If you desired Him, it's because He wrote His laws on your heart and in your mind. He said, "I'll put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God." Does that sound like you and I just said one day, "I think I'll make God my God"? No. He said, "I will be their God, and they shall be my people." You know how? He wrote that in their hearts and in their minds. And He says, "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." And so it's the Lord who first writes the commandments on our heart. And here He says, "Write them upon the table of thine heart." I read after one writer who said it this way. He said, "What this is talking about really isn't the writing it originally. It's like you're copying. You just keep copying over and over what the Lord's written in your heart." What I'm saying to you tonight, we need to remember what God has called us unto. He called us out of darkness into light. He called us, "Ye who were sometimes darkness, now are ye light in the Lord, and walk therefore as the children of light." And we are to take that which He's written on our hearts, and we're to put it into application in our lives. We're to walk in the fruit of the Spirit that He's given us. We're to walk by faith and love. He said to put on the breastplate of faith and love, which is the breastplate of righteousness. And faith and the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy. We're to walk in the love and the joy and the peace and the long-suffering and the gentleness and the goodness and the faith and the meekness and the temperance and all the fruit of the Spirit. We're to wear them on the outside. Sometimes when we walk along in this world, we don't look much like God's children. We're certainly not acting much like God's children. I've seen sometimes even among the church brethren, as you stand before them in preaching, and you wonder if you what you see. You don't see that there ought to be a reflection. There ought to be something that when we look at God's little children, they ought to look like. We ought to be happy in the Lord. It doesn't mean we ought not. There ought to be things that cause us to weep because of what it does in our hearts. And then there ought to be some things that cause us to rejoice. And sometimes we want to weep more than we do, and we want to rejoice more than we do, but we think we might look a little peculiar. And you surely do. You go to a meeting and there's a lot of crying and there's a lot of smiling, and you look around. I know sometimes the young folks, they look at you and say, I wonder what's wrong with all those people. I remember hearing a lot of preachers stand before us and say, well, I used to look at my mama and daddy and wonder what was wrong with mama. She's just crying away. When she'd hear the gospel preached, she'd be crying away, and I'd wonder what would be wrong with her. Next minute she'd be smiling away, and every once in a while she'd shout. Let her lift up her voice and praise unto God. I'm telling you, brethren, as I looked at us tonight, I saw us happy in the Lord. It made me happy. But I want us happier. I want Happy Creek to be even happier. I want us to be not afraid to own our Lord. I don't want us to be afraid to say, praise the Lord for what He's done. Little sisters spoke up last meeting time and said she just wanted to thank the Lord for His goodness to her. And oh, how wonderful that blessed the heart of all of us here. And to hear that over and over again. I know your story is not the same as this story or that story, but you all have been mighty blessed by the Lord, have you not? And you've got something to say. I'm just saying to you to say it. You let the listen, if the redeemed don't say it, who's going to say it? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Has the Lord been good to you? Well, you go home to your friends. That's what he told that little woman. You go home to your friend. Although why that wild Gadarene, he said that. You go home to your friends. I've always often thought, what kind of friends did that man have? I'll tell you what, a bunch of old Baptists would have been his friends. Because he wasn't the same man he was after Jesus got finished with him. He was naked, but now he's clothed. He was crazy, but now he's in his right mind. And now he has some friends. The friend of Jesus, the friend of sinners, has given us friends in this world. He said, you go home and tell your friends how great things the Lord hath done for thee. And then, you know, he's been a mighty God, and he's been a friend to me. I know he's been a friend to you. We've been through some things just recently, and I felt the Lord's presence with us. Some sweet meetings this year. I've been in trouble and looked to him, and the Lord answered, came through. Even when we thought he didn't, he did. We just were mixed up about it. We have that kind of Lord. I want us to know that every day we live. You can look to Him and lean on Him, and He will never let you down. You can trust in Mama, and she won't always be there. You can trust in Dad, and there'll come a time He can't do what He would want to do. But I'm telling you, when you trust in the Lord, He will never let you down. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And He has the power to help you through whatever storm or battle you're going through in this world. And He understands you better than you understand yourself. He said, you write them upon the table of thine heart. We ought to be living like that, walking like that, talking like that, reminding one another of that. And he said, so shalt thou find favor. That is, you find grace. You know, grace is something to have in your life, but you find grace as you go along in this world. God gives you grace so that you can enjoy His grace. You've got to have grace for grace. He gives you grace for grace. He gives you grace to walk through a door, and then He opens up another door after you walk through that door. He gives you grace to trust Him, and as you trust Him, He gives you grace and an answered prayer of where you've trusted in Him. And then he opens up something that maybe you never see. I was blessed this morning to ride with my son over to Summer Duck. At his request, he called me up and said, I want to ride with you to Summer Duck and go to the meeting with you. And then at the end of it all, I remember at one time, and when we got back home, he said, you know, I hadn't stopped to eat anywhere. Brother Bob, I'm famous for that, aren't I? Hadn't stopped to eat anywhere and been talking about things. I said, Jimmy, did you need anything to eat? He said, no, I didn't even think about it. He said, but you know, at one time as a teenager, he said, I'd be plumb mad right now that we didn't stop and get something to eat. It'd been a long time we'd got to do that. But I'm telling you, the Lord's working. He's working in our lives. the lives of our children, things we can't do, things He can do, and it's wonderful to see it. And brethren, I want you to say this. If you see it, you acknowledge it, you thank Him tonight. You pray to Him and you say, God, thank you for that. And you, the more you see that, the more you'll see His grace. Your dark world may brighten up, and you may weep a whole lot more, and you will definitely look a whole lot sillier in this old world, but who cares? This world's crazy anyway. I don't really care what they think, do you? I don't. Let them think me a fool. I'm telling you, when he comes again and there's a voice and the shout and the trump of God and the archangel, I know that sound is going to happen. And what a day that will be. And there are those who mock Him and ridicule Him today that will answer to Him. There every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Let us be found bowing and praying and looking to Him right now as we live along in this world. And if you're able to do that, of course, it's all by God's grace that you are. He says, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding. I'll tell you, that sounds like a good way to live, isn't it? Good understanding. Psalm 119. When I think about that understanding and what that really means, I think of Psalm 119 because this verse has always been a whole lot to me. It says in Psalm 119, if I can find this, verse 99. Psalm 119, verse 99. I got to get verse 97. It says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Brethren, I'm telling you, this word, you eat it, drink it, feed on it. It is that which will be a blessing to you in your life as you read God's word and you think about it. How many times does it just help you when you're in trouble to have a word, a verse, or verses come to your memory and you think about how the Lord dealt with this one and dealt with that one and how though they were in trouble, the Lord was there. When you think of a Daniel who trusted faithfully in God and God kept him. Or you think of those three Hebrew children or the children of Israel as they were coming out of the land of Egypt. As you think of their dealings in the wilderness and how God has sustained His people in times past in really tough circumstances. I tell you, we sing that hymn. I hope we believe it. He's just the same today. Y'all believe that, don't you? Our God hasn't changed. He's just the God of Daniel, the God of Pentecost. He's just the same today. And He says here, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. He says, I have more understanding than all my teachers. And I'm telling you, the little brother or sister who takes this Bible and lives by it has more knowledge, more wisdom than the wisest men of this world who do not understand this book. And all of the wisdom in this world means nothing. The wisdom that's from beneath means nothing. That wisdom that coming down from above is that most important thing that you can have in your life. And if you got that, I'll tell you, you're a blessed individual and a happy person. Blessed is that man. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, having a respect of the Lord. But He says, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? For thy testimonies are my meditation. That's why it's important for us to come to the house of God, learn from His Word, because it teaches us things that you'll not learn in this world. He says, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And you know, there are those that will despise you for the truth's sake, but there were those who loved Daniel because of the excellent spirit that was in him. You see, Daniel always came, the Lord always kept him. And there were, even through different kingdoms, he stood out. You know why he stood out? Because he was faithful and he trusted in the Lord. He wouldn't eat the king's meat. He didn't go along with the world. He was going to trust in the Lord. And do you know some of those, and can you call to memory some of those dear ones that have been faithful in your life that you saw just stand out? And they stood out and you wondered, maybe at some time you wondered what was special in them. I'll tell you what was special in them is that the Lord had blessed them on the inside and they were writing some of that in their hearts on the outside. They were living what God had put on the inside. They put it on the outside. That's what the scripture was saying is let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I remember Brother Evan would always pray, let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works. He'd always say, if I have any. And that shows a humility that I saw in him that is right there along with this wisdom comes that humility. You see, that wisdom brings a humility. The wisdom of this world brings an arrogance. But the wisdom that's from above brings a humility. And if you see humility, you'll see a true wisdom. And if you see a true wisdom, you'll see humility. A man who thinks he's smart isn't smart at all. But that little brother who feels like I don't know much, I'll tell you, he's wise enough to, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which the Bible says, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. When you lack, don't know what to do, you look to the Lord. And that little brother or sister who's looking to the Lord are the wisest among us. And he said, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. He says, oh, time is gone. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. With all of it. Not halfway. Not after everything else fails. Not the last thing you get to do. Not after you've tried everything else. No. We are to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We're to trust in the Father because of His great love for us. We're to trust in the Son because of His redemptive work. Trust in Him for heaven. Trust in Him for the shedding of His blood, the washing that we've had of our sins away by His blood. Trust in the Holy Spirit and His work of continuing working in us. He who's begun to work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, we have a great God. Not just, we have God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. We're to trust in not only the Father who created. Listen, He's able to bring the rain or keep the rain from falling. He puts the food on our tables and the clothes on our backs. He's the one who provides us all temporal blessings. And all of those things that have come to us by the Father have come to us through the Son. Because without the Son, there would have been no blessings from the Father. Because God could not justifiably show us any of those good things because we didn't deserve them. But God blessed us not because we deserved them, but because His Son merited them for us. Isn't that wonderful? So we see His mercy and His grace here all intertwined. And He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Let's not be half-hearted about that. And lean not unto thine own understanding. That means when I get to thinking, well, I know I'm trusting in the Lord, but maybe I can just help it, you know, kind of, let me try to do it a little bit myself. Let me give it a shot here. Let me try to get this thing straight. I think I got this figured out. And that's, you know, when I mess up is when I think I got it figured out. What we need to know is that none of this is in our hands. I saw this verse. I know I've seen it many times, but I saw it in studying this just a little bit. I found this verse that it meant a whole lot to me. I know it's probably familiar to all of y'all, very much so. But in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, it says this. Jeremiah says, by inspiration of God, he says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Well, that's a wise statement, isn't it? How many of us think sometimes it's just in me? I can get this done. I'm going to get this done. I got this figured out. I can handle this. You know when you and I get in trouble? That's when we think we can handle it. He says, O Lord, I know. This is a fact. Jeremiah knew this. He says, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And what that means is, if you think you can make it without the Lord, and I think I can make it without the Lord, well, we're just fools. That's just foolish. If I think I can fix it without the Lord, I'm just foolish. If I think I know the answers in a spiritual way or an answers in a natural way, if I get to be a minister who thinks I can do this without the Lord, I'm foolish. I need the Lord in the preaching of the gospel. I need the Lord in the worship of Almighty God. I need him to be the kind of daddy I'm supposed to be. I need him to be the kind of grandfather I'm supposed to be. You ever feel like it's just too much? I don't know what to do. It is too much. And you don't know what to do. And that's a great wisdom if you have that. And the thing is, you're looking to a God who knows exactly what to do. And is able, when you look to Him, to supply to you exactly what you need. Isn't it much better to trust one who cannot fail than to trust in yourself who is sure to fail? That's what he's saying here. He says, don't lean on your understanding at all. Not a little bit. Not even a little bit. Trust in the Lord. and lean on Him. He says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. That word acknowledge Him doesn't just mean saying, I acknowledge that He's there. It's to know His presence. You know, when you get reminded that the Lord is there and you get to thinking about that, that just gets overwhelming, doesn't it? To know He's here. Do you know He's here right now? Do you really know He's here? Do you know He's in your heart? Do you know He's sitting right by you? Do you know He's everywhere present? He's nowhere absent? And when you think about that, that just changes the way you think about everything. It changes the way you feel. As His little child, you feel comforted by it, but you also stand in the fear of the Lord and respect. I want to act better. I want to talk. I want to act. I want to behave better. I want to get that old evil thought out of my head. I want to get rid of that animosity I'm feeling. I want to get that jealousy out of my life. I don't want to think like this. I don't want to be in love with the world and the things of the world, because I feel and know His presence. When we're in a meeting like this and you feel and know His presence, that's wonderful. But do you know that same Lord is with us when you leave this building and go into the vestibule? And when you go out of the vestibule and you go down and walk down the street, and when you go get in your car and you ride to Cracker Barrel, if we go to Cracker Barrel, then He's going to be there with us at Cracker Barrel. And when I go to work tomorrow and looking at those little youngins, He's going to be with me there. And wherever I'm at, when I'm sitting all by myself and think nobody's in the room with me and I'm all alone, you're never ever really all alone. He says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. That means to be recognizing He's with me. That's a great comfort when you feel so weak and you feel so uncertain about things, and you just say, I know I'm weak, but Lord, You're not weak. I know I'm uncertain, but Lord, You're not. And I'm looking to Thee. Guide me. Trust in Him. Lean upon Him. You direct me, Lord. You lead me in what to do. I know You're able to lead me in what I need to do. And He says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. And get this. He didn't say, and maybe He'll show you the way to go. Doesn't say that, does it? What does it say? It says, and He shall direct thy paths. What did He say over in Jeremiah? It isn't in man to order his path and direct his steps. But I can tell you what, there is one who can direct your steps. As a matter of fact, He said, in all thy ways you acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Oh, isn't it good to have a leader like that? What a friend. Be not, and I know time is gone. I'll just read this. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Here's where it's talking about humility and wisdom. And fear the Lord and depart from evil. If you're puffed up in your own eyes, you're not walking in the wisdom of God. And if you're walking in the wisdom of God, you'll recognize this is His wisdom, not mine. And you'll be humble about that and thanking God for what He's allowed you to have. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It's good for you spiritually. It's good for you physically. Now honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. That means don't give the Lord leftovers. I mean, you give Him the very best. You give Him the very best in your study of your in God's Word. You give Him the very best of your time. You give Him the very best of all that you have. And all that you do, do it as... don't give Him what's left over. Oh, so many times we just are ending up giving Him what's left over. Well, if I got a little extra time, I'll give it to Him. Listen, He says here, to honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Which means you can't ever outgive the Lord. The Lord blesses in so many ways. We just have to stop. He's been good to us, hasn't He? Let's not be half-hearted. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness above everything else. And all these things will be added unto you, whatever that is that we stand in need of. That's the kind of God we have tonight. May the Lord help us to trust Him and lean on Him more. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
I love you, brother. Bless you.